God's richest blessings to you today on this seventh day of Christmas. Jennifer and I are not here today because we are taking a trip to Houston to visit Jennifer's parents. So we're grateful that you are allowing us to do that. And therefore, I'm doing a video sermon for you this morning. And if you'll look around you, you'll notice that we still have the Advent decorations up. If you were with us during Advent, you'll remember that we put up little bits and pieces of the nativity scene all throughout Advent. We started with the stable, and then we added the manger, and then we added the hay, and then we added the shepherds and the sheep and the donkey and all that sort of thing. And today is our last piece of the Advent nativity scene, and we are putting up the wise men. Now, what's interesting is that if you do research on wise men, you will realize that we really don't get it right at all when it comes to Christmas time. First of all, we have no idea how many wise men there were. Some people assume that we had three wise men, but the Bible doesn't say. The only thing it does say is that there were three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And of course, we always show the wise men at the stable, but the truth is that we don't really know for sure. Probably the wise men weren't at the stable. They went to Jerusalem first to find Herod. And by the time they got back from that point, we have no idea where the Holy Family was. And so pretty much everything that we have thinking about the wise men isn't necessarily line up with what we know in Scripture. But we do know this, and that is it's still part of the Christmas story because it was another announcement of Christ's birth at the time of his birth. It was another way in God showing his glory. And today I want to really just focus a little bit on the incredible message that the wise men bring to us. And I want to start right there in Matthew 2. Because listen to this part of the story. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now, I don't know about you, but I find this absolutely amazing. I want you to just think about it for a minute. The wise men saw an astronomical, astrological event, and it was something that was so strong and so powerful that it caused them to leave their home and to travel a great distance to get to Jerusalem to find out this new king that was born of the Jews. Now, we don't know a whole lot about the Magi, but apparently they were some sort of combination of astrologers and astronomers. They were definitely pagans, and they were people who looked at the heavens, and based upon what they saw in the heavens, they made predictions about it. And somehow, God used this ability of the Magi to look in the heavens to put something in the heavens that was so strange, so powerful, that predicted a king so wonderfully that it actually caused the wise men to leave their home and to travel to Jerusalem. And we don't know how long. It could have taken months for them to get there. But we do know this, that the birth of Jesus was the single greatest event in the history of the world. We know that the entire Old Testament history and everything leading up to the birth of Jesus was predicted in Jerusalem that a king would be born. But what we don't stop and think about is that God was able to use this event and to put into motion other things that was able to tell the wise men, these magi, that something great was happening in Jerusalem. He was able to create this star event, this event that would cause the wise men to see the birth of the King of the Jews and that they would go and investigate. Now you want to talk about a plan. Now we know that stars aren't just born. In order for a star to be, stars are pretty permanent things. And so for an order, for whatever this astronomical event was, whatever it was, God probably put it into motion a long time ago, a long time before Jesus was born. And we don't know what the event was, but we do know that God must have been planning for it, maybe even at the creation of the world. And not only that, but God was able to time it in such a manner that somehow the nation of Israel would be created, they would go into bondage and slavery, that God would deliver them out of Egypt, that he would bring them to a promised land, he would give them kings, and then he would promise to them that someday some new king would be on the throne of David's throne. And he aligned all of that to come together at the same time that this astronomical event happened. Just an amazing thing. Some of you might wonder, does God control the universe? You know, in the 18th century, they believed that God basically just set everything into motion and then he left it. It was a theology called deism, and it meant that God kind of started the whole path of the world, but then he left it alone, and that he wasn't actively working in the earth today. But the account of Jesus and the wise men just betrays that whole narrative. One of the things that we know that is so prevalent in the world today, one of the things that a lot of people in the world today believe is that everything's random. Our birth is random, our lives are random, and the events that shape our lives are random. Everything's random, and it's because we can't make sense of the world. We don't see any pattern to all things, and so therefore, everything's random. I remember years ago, I was in a fluid dynamics class at engineering college, and fluid dynamics deals with fluids. So water's a fluid, oil's a fluid, air's a fluid. And I remember the professor telling us that nothing in fluid dynamics is random. It may seem like it's random because we don't necessarily understand everything, but nothing is random. Every molecule, every atom, everything responds to a force around it, and everything has to obey Newton's three laws of motion. And so nothing is random. The problem is that we just don't have enough data to predict where things are going to go. And he said this. He said, if we knew the exact location of every molecule in the universe, and we had a computer model built upon it, that we would be able to accurately predict where things were going to go. And if we had enough data, we could actually predict the weather a minute in advance, 5 minutes in advance, 5 years in advance, 10 years in advance. The only problem is everything follows Newton's laws of motion. We just don't have enough data to predict. But there's nothing random about life at all. That always stuck with me. Because it helps me explain how God could possibly know or understand the future. Because if God truly is all-knowing and all-powerful, as the scripture describes, then he rules the world in ways that I can't possibly understand. He makes one little movement over here, and maybe at a time far distant from now, and the effect could be 1,000 years in a different location, but he knows exactly what the effect is. And he knows and he understands every molecule and every detail. Now, I don't want to get into the whole debate on free will, but what I can tell you this, that what is true about fluid dynamics is probably true and has its application in human behavior. I mean, if God truly is all-powerful, then truly where is the limit to what he knows and understands about this world? And there's incredible theological implications to all of this. We don't know God. We think we have a handle on him, but that's not true. He plays on infinite levels of chess on an infinite chessboard. We only see one piece at a time, but he sees it all. Now talk about something that will bring you to your knees and make you humble. God's in control. The story of the wise men tells me this. God's in control. God's in a control that I don't even understand. If he put into motion these stars or this astronomical event that was so powerful that it caused the wise men to come and see the baby King Jesus, then he's operating at a level that I simply can't understand. There are times in my life when I've been so afraid about the future, and I have no reason to be afraid about the future because God's got it under control. I remember years ago, I was working in a brand new engineering firm, and we had to go to this job interview. We were trying to land a project that would fund our company for a great deal of time. And I remember just being so concerned about it, because if we did well in the interview, then we would likely get the project and our company would continue to move forward. But if we didn't win the interview, I didn't know what was going to happen next. And I can remember lying in bed at night just fretting about it. But if God can put astronomical events in place, then He can control everything. I have no reason to fear. I remember another time in the early 1990s that we hit a recession. I was living in the Phoenix at the time. I was still at this engineering firm. And the recession was very, very powerful. It caused a downturn in the economy. It caused a downturn in the profession that I was. And I was worried about how things were going to work out. And I remember lying in bed, worried about that. But if God can place things in control, if God can place stars in the heaven thousands of years before Christ, whoever long before Christ, so that it all lined up, God is in control. The thing is that when I get older, the more I realize two things. One is this: God has had my back all these years. No matter what happened, He won't leave me. And the second thing is this: I'm a child of the King. Because whenever I think that some event in my life or in the world is so important that it's going to cause some great pain in my life, or that I think it's so important, all I need to do is to walk out into the wilderness and to look out at a valley or look out into some beautiful thing and be reminded that God made it. God's in charge. He's got it all under His control. If He can create beauty, then who am I? You know, my sinfulness and my ability to do good for the kingdom utterly pales in comparison to His control of the universe. I think that is why Luther said that our works are like filthy rags. Even if we try, we'll probably mess it up. The good news is this: the King knows. Somehow, in a mysterious way, His death and resurrection redeemed our sinful nature in ways that we can't even understand. The only thing that we can know for certain is that He takes every aspect of our life and He purifies it and He brings it to completion to do His purpose in the kingdom. That's why this story is so important this morning. At the end of Christmas, I see a God who controls the universe. He controls the heavens. He controls the stars. He made this astronomical event that caused the wise men to come from the east and to come and see the Christ child. And the good news is that this King is still active today. He controls the universe. He controls everything. He understands everything. And He has, by His birth, made us members of His kingdom. That's a pretty wonderful thing. May God continue to bless you this Christmas season as we continue to celebrate the birth of the King. In His name, amen.